Tonight, our 10-minute speaker is Dylan from San Diego.
Hi, my name's Dylan. I'm an alcoholic. I want to thank Brian for asking me to speak tonight. I appreciate that. So basically what it was like for me is pretty much all throughout my teen years, being sober was never really an option. I would go to any length to get drunk. It didn't really matter who was in my way or whatever. I needed other people to manipulate and use so that I could continue to drink like I wanted to drink. And I never really had a desire to get sober. There was always kind of this lurking notion that living sober would probably be easier, but it was never really something I wanted to do. And so basically it was just a lot of inpatient, outpatient, juvenile hall, all that good stuff. And so what ended up happening was I went into probation one day and I told my PO that I needed help because I was dirty for the test and I just wanted to get out of whatever kind of punishment he was going to give me. But nonetheless, I was still asking for help. And so what he did was he sent me to a detox, and I went into this detox and an H&I panel came, and I could relate to what they were saying. They were speaking my language, and what they said made sense to me. The powerlessness was became clear to me. And so I went home, awaiting to go into an inpatient. And while I was at home, I started getting these thoughts like, okay, yeah, you've earned a drink after those 2 weeks of dry time. And I was telling myself, like, no, I don't want to drink. But these thoughts just kept coming, and they were faster and faster. And before I knew it, I was drunk again. And that really hit home, the powerlessness for me. And so then from there, I went into the inpatient where they really pounded the book into me. And I went through the steps for the first time. And I just wanted to get things down on the paper. I wasn't really doing a thorough self-search. I just wanted to get this done. And so that's what I did. And I got to 10, 11, and 12. I wasn't working with anybody. I wasn't praying. I wasn't meditating. I was just kind of going through the motions. And those thoughts came back, and I drank again. And they knew. And so then they sent me to another rehab. And from there, that's when I really made the decision to really try and pursue this higher power. Like, I did not understand how this higher power was going to help me to stay sober. But at that point, I didn't really care how it was going to work or why it was going to work. I just wanted what people in these rooms had. So I pursued that. I would just go on walks and try and establish some kind of communication with this higher power. And it's not like I get any voice booming down from the heavens back to me. It's just me kind of communicating and just praying to have something happen and for me to be put in situations where I can help people, because that's what people in the rooms talk about doing. And so from there, I left there, I came back home, and the thoughts came back, and this time I got on my knees, and I prayed for God to help me to stay sober for that day and to help me to figure out what I can do to stay sober for the rest of the day. And so from there, I went to a meeting, and that was, nothing like that had ever happened before. You know, I would always give in to those thoughts, and it would just be another deal. And so from there, I got a different sponsor who would really call me out on my shit. And so this is when, like, the self-searching really started to take place. I started seeing that these ideals I have of myself, how I see myself, like, I see myself as, like, a gentle, kind, just like an all-around great person, really. And and that apparently was not the case. We established some patterns in my behavior where really just these innocent people who just want to love me and care about me, whether it's family or friends or girlfriends or whatever. I just take total advantage of them, and any kind of negative emotions I feel, I just take out on them, and that's what I did. And so, you know, now came the amends process, and, you know, I sat down with my family and did that whole deal, and made amends to other people. And there was one situation that was very peculiar to me. I was at a meeting, and this ex-girlfriend, who I thought I would never be able to contact or see again, just happened to waltz right on up to the front of the meeting. And yeah, that really tripped me out. But that was an opportunity for me to go and make amends to her. And weird things like that continue to happen. And, you know, when stuff like that happens, really all I can do is just thank God for creating the situation for me that I can continue to progress in my recovery. And yeah, a lot of character defects that I have going on. And as much as I want them all to be removed, and as much as I want to be this, like, perfect individual of how I see myself, I understand that these defects are fairly embedded in myself. And I also understand that God is going to remove from me what he deems necessary for me to continue to carry out his will and to be, and just to be the member of AA that he would have me be. And not only in AA, just in general, when I'm out and about. I don't really ever think about drinking anymore, which is crazy to me. I don't understand, but like I said, I don't feel the need to understand. It's just, it is what it is. And so I don't think about drinking, and I don't think about not drinking, because I know that if I'm still thinking about not drinking, I'm still obsessed about alcohol in a way. And so that's what that is. Like, the obsession has been removed. I don't think about it either way. But at the same time, I know that my alcoholism is a part of me. And when I begin to feel restless and irritable and discontent, and I begin to start living in self again, then all kinds of calamity starts to pile up. And I don't have a connection with my higher power when that starts to happen. And when that happens, it's time to drink, and that's what I do. So I just do what my higher power would have me do. And like I said, it's not this voice booming down from the heavens telling me exactly what I need to do. But I have a connection with my higher power that is unique for me, and I think everyone has their own unique connection. And what mine looks like is there will be some kind of situation or, you know, just people placed in my life, and things will happen, and I can see my own higher power's signature on that. Like, I know what it looks like, you know what I mean? And so I just pray that he has me do what he would have me do, and things tend to unfold as they should, as long as I just continue to do the program and continue to try and grow. And I know that if I stay stagnant, then it's just an amount of time before everything starts to continue to pile up. I know that it is for what God wants me to do is he wants me to continue to grow. I was talking to my sponsor yesterday, and he told me something along the lines of, a true master never really masters anything. And that really hit home for me, because my ego tells me that, oh yeah, I got it all down pat, I'm perfect, like I got this. But that's not how it is. And so I just try and continue to grow. I do service in AA, and it's been able to keep me sober, man. It's been able to keep me sober, and that's what I came here for. That's what I really put the effort in towards, was to just stay sober and not drink. And what I've gotten out of this program is a connection with a higher power, and a life I always dreamed of having but never really thought was attainable. But through this program, it has been. And I'm very grateful to be here, and thank you for listening to me.